Miriam Karp is in the studio with me tonight. She's a writer, an artist, and a teacher right here in Cincinnati. She's here to talk about her memoir, which is titled Painting Zadie's Dream. Miriam, welcome to Around Cincinnati.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here, Barbara.
I'm glad to see you because you do take us on a journey through your life, and there have been different roads you've taken. One of the ones that interested me most of all, I must say, is there's a chapter heading early in the book, which is Dress British, Think Yiddish. So tell us about that time of your life.
I think that saying actually was on a greeting card that was once given to my father. And to me, it kind of stuck in my mind and characterized the kind of home that I grew up in, the kind of attitude, kind of balancing act between, on one hand, my Yiddish native-speaking grandparents, who were immigrants to the country in the early 1920s, and their children, firstborn Americans, who loved their heritage but definitely were geared towards fitting in and making it in a time when ethnicity and differentness and Jewishness was all kind of not something to be too public about.
There's certainly a more than a side trip as a flower child. And I suspect will always be a part of your spirit. But what that led you to at a certain point was a place where I believe you write that you were wandering in the desert. So mm-hmm. It wasn't a fulfilling life spiritually. And you have a dream at a certain point, hence the title of the memoir. Would you read us what that dream is, please?
Sure. The dream. My Zadie, my grandfather, was in the forefront. With his thinning white hair, stout, clean-shaven face, and thick glasses, Zadie was the most modern figure. A long chain of elderly sages with white beards and wise eyes was coming down from the misty past, from the top, right, and left corners, getting larger and more defined as they came forward. Zadie was in the middle, the most prominent, as if he were the charm in the center of a necklace going back in time and in size. A three-dimensional image. I don't remember any talking or storyline, just this vivid image, this tableau. I woke up knowing, not guessing, not associating, knowing. This was the chain of Jewish history and continuity, coming out from the ancient past, through the generations, to the late 20th century, and Zadie was the most current link.
So I think it's fair to say that this dream leads you ultimately to Crown Heights in Brooklyn, a place called 770, which you describe as Judaism on speed. But tell us more about it. Tell us how you got there. And that seems to be a real turning point in your life.
It is. I grew up in a Jewish culturally, but very unreligious or spiritual home. And as a growing child and then growing into a teenager, I sort of just started having spiritual inklings and questions. And most of the other people that I knew who were having those same kind of questions were hippies. So I gravitated toward that, kind of a rejection of the very suburban materialistic lifestyle that seemed to be laid out in front of me, which seemed kind of empty. Was a hippie, traveled around, tried out different things. At the time of this dream, I was in art school at the University of Michigan and very, very driven by this search. During all the time that I went to different ashrams, different centers, all different kinds of places, I had no inkling to look into anything Jewish because I felt that that was not spiritual. It was kind of a cultural, rational, maybe neurotic, nostalgic kind of a package, but not spiritual at all. After this dream, like I said, it just captured me. I started thinking a little bit more about what being Jewish might mean and went back to my parents' home to find some Jewish images, some family images to kind of portray. I wanted to do a painting of this dream. And through that, met a woman who introduced me to the Hasidic group that she was studying with, which at first I thought, no way, these people have got to be the most backwards people on the place of the earth, but eventually came to find something very rich and meaningful there to the point that I did go into Brooklyn to study further and grew into the life that I now lead.
And I think it would be fair to say that this also influenced the family that you created. So tell us about that, because it's unusual for these days. it also seems very happy from the way you describe it.
Thank you. When I was studying in Crown Heights after about a year or so, I kind of thought, okay, I'm in. I really want to do this. And family life is a very central part of observant Jewish life. And I eventually met a young man who is now my husband, still young at heart, who followed actually a similar path. Sometimes I would say to him, I wonder what I would have thought of you if we met up on Highway 1 in out in Frisco or whatever. But he came from the similar background, did kind of similar searching, and ended up also studying in Crown Heights. He is a rabbi. He actually runs a Jewish recovery center here in town and works with people in recovery and different special needs people, stuff that don't kind of fit in the normative Jewish community. And we have, thank God, 10 kids, which of course is quite unusual. And they're great, you know, and obviously we raise them very much with the excitement and spirit of what we've found. And like any family, we've been through many ups and downs, but we have a lot of great satisfaction and pleasure. And as we say in Hebrew, nachas from them.
I'm wondering if as you wrote this memoir or at the end of it, whether there were surprises or were there things that you came to understand further or more deeply through the process of looking back over your life? You're not that old yet. And writing about it, what was the process like for you?
Yeah, that was actually a very fascinating thing. As I was writing it, I was kind of thinking, okay, am I going to have some kind of big revelation or insight as I write this? I guess what first of all led me to write it was starting to realize that I have kind of a unique story. And on the other hand, I've always kind of felt a little on the cuff to the observant world. I'm still a little bit of a hippie, like you say, to my family and friends that I grew up with. I'm a little bit of a mystery, at least a little bit of a mystery, and just kind of wanting to build a bridge back and forth going both ways. Some of this has been kind of percolating in my mind for years, but still in all this act of actually sitting and writing a memoir and kind of getting that, I don't know, that kind of sweeping perspective, I don't know if it's changed anything. I guess it's made me feel a little, just kind of, I can't even really put it into words, a certain satisfaction, a certain settledness maybe about some of that feeling that being in the middle, like that kind of torn between two worlds maybe isn't such a good place. Feeling more at home with it, owning it with it, that is kind of my special place in the world, is to be that bridge builder. When I was growing up, my grandmother used to write in her little immigrant script little stories about her life in the Ukraine and coming to Detroit. And they're very precious because in her immigrant handwriting and misspelling and kind of with those little Russian curls to her letters. But it was such a gift to us because we never knew, would have known that inner world that she had. And I try to tell people to just, you don't have to be a writer, you don't have to publish it, but to share your inner self. And the more fallible you are, the more you share that with your loved ones, the more it does give them strength. They don't have to be this picture-perfect kind of image that we all think we have to portray ourselves at. They all struggle.
Absolutely. I want to thank you for sharing your life with us and for coming and talking with us tonight.
Thank you so much. It was really my pleasure.
I've been talking with Miriam Karp about her memoir titled Painting Zadie's Dream. You'll find more information at wvxu.org. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Barbara Gray.